Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And we are here to have Cowboy Church.
Yes, and yeah. We are grandparents, you know that?
Yep, we are grandparents. You know, not me and you together,
no,
a lot of people think we're like married, but we're friends.
We're friends.
We're just friends, yeah.
Hey, I have an interesting question about your grandparents.
Okay.
I mean, your grandchildren. How long does it take you in conversations with somebody before you start talking about your grandkids?
Oh my gosh. I try not to because they bring out their pictures. And it eats into my time of my pictures and videos.
Yeah, somebody was telling me the other day, says, how do you become a witness for Jesus? And I said, well, are you a grandparent? And they said, well, sure. And I said, how long does it take you to start talking about your grandkids? And they said, I can do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, do you know the reason why you talk about your grandkids? Is because they're so high up on that stuff you think about.
Right.
Well, if you want to be a great witness, doesn't it make sense that if Jesus becomes high up on that list and one of the things we think about with such great enthusiasm, that we figure out ways to talk about him?
Mm-hmm.
And you know good and well when you start talking about your grandkids, that other person goes, oh, here it is again, right? Right? It doesn't matter, does it?
No.
It doesn't matter because it's your grandkids. You're going to talk about him.
Right.
And I think if we had that same kind of enthusiasm in our walk with God, that we'd be a lot more effective in changing the world and getting people to be involved with the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to be a witness, we're going to help you be a witness this morning. We're going to help teach you how to get enthused about Jesus and how to have him move up the priority list. And when it happens, you'll be a witness. You won't be able to help yourself. It's just that way, isn't it?
It's just like enjoying a good tiramisu or a great chocolate.
What is this tiramisu?
Oh, it's my husband's favorite. It's an Italian,
Oh, that's
dessert.
Where they put the fire to it and flame
No, that's flambeau.
Oh.
Or whatever. Okay, skip that then.
It's past beans and cornbread,
like,
I'm confused.
It's like eating the best chocolate chip cookie you've ever had.
Okay, now you're talking.
Your experience with Jesus, the love of Jesus, and that look on your face when you complete that last bite, except of regret that was the last bite. It's something that you want to talk about. You ooze with the love of Jesus, and people can see that. They can see it on your face. They can see it through your actions. We want to welcome you to Cowboy Church, and we're so glad you're here. Now, we can say all we want to say out here towards all the people, but those kids know if what you're saying in front of people is really what you're living at home. And I think we would take how we act, what we say, and what we do a lot more seriously if we think about this song in particular and say, you know what? I want people to see Jesus in my eyes.
That rusty yellow school bus came to pick us up each day and took my sister off to school, dropped me at your house to play. I'd see you waving from that porch down that dusty drive, and I'd run as fast as I could to your side. You taught me how to garden, and then you'd let me help you cook. That gentle smile was always there on your face, that special look. And you tell about Jesus, how he lived inside of you. You know I never doubted what you said was true, 'cause I saw him in your eyes, in your love and in your laughter. It was him I recognized. I didn't know it then, but now I realize that I saw him in your eyes. While we cleaned up in the kitchen, you'd be humming some old hymn. And then you'd open up your Bible and read to me about your friend. But more than songs and stories, it was what I saw in you. I watched the love of God as it came shining through. 'Cause I saw him in your eyes, in your love and in your laughter. It was him I recognized. I didn't know it then, but now I realize that I saw him in your eyes. Oh, my prayer is that someday when my grandchildren look at me, well, they'll see that same reflection of him and his perfection, the miracle in you that I could see. When I saw him in your eyes, in your love and in your laughter, it was him I recognized. I didn't know it then, but now I realize that I saw him in your eyes. Yes, I saw.
Truly my best friend. Amen. Amen.
When you're down and lonely and you need a helping hand and nothing, oh, nothing is going right, keep your head together and call my name out loud. Oh, and soon I will be knocking on your door. You just call out my name and you know yeah. take your soul if you let them. Oh, but don't you let them.
Come on, sing it to your best buddy.
You just call. Summer or fall.
We're going to do all things through Christ. That means in every situation we're going to face, that means we're going to rejoice and we're going to have enough of God's strength operating in our lives that we're going to be gentle and we're going to handle this thing gentle because we have great strength. We're relying on God's great strength. Well, there's a lot of other things here and you're not going to get them all, but if you go back and read it, you'll remember this stuff. It tells us how to deal with anxiety. Do we have a world that we have? I mean, is there a lot of anxiety in the world we live in today? It's everywhere. And if we don't have any anxiety, turn the news on. They will make sure that you have some anxiety. They will tell you how bad things are. They will tell you how disgusting people are. They will tell you how messed up everything is. They'll tell you you need to wear this to be aware of that and all of these sorts of things just to put anxiety in your life. And for what reason? Well, they want to sell something to you. Or they just want you to feel bad so you'll come back and read more out of their blog. So, but the Bible says, He tells us how to deal with anxiety, and that's in verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things give what? Thanks. In all things give thanks. Now that's not in verse 6, but you'll begin to see what it's talking about. Now, the other item that he expresses about it is peace. I love peace. How many of you have ever just experienced a moment of peace? When the world goes hubbub, where do you go to experience a moment of peace? Where do you? That's why guys like to go fishing. Yeah. Sit out there on the bank and toss hook in the water and just enjoy. They don't have no anxiety about anything, and they can let the cares of the world begin to roll off. Where do you go to experience peace? And God lets us know that if we want peace in this world, it doesn't have anything to do. It's not contingent on your circumstances. You can be in the middle of the most difficult situation and you can experience God's peace if you know that God is going with you. That's later on in this chapter, he's going to say, I can do all things through Christ. What? I can have peace in the middle of a storm? Yes, you can. You can have clarity of thought because God can help you have clarity of thought because he's removed the anxiety, he's removed the stress, and in the middle of the most difficult times when you get a hold of God and you're going through this with God's help, what you can do is you can have the peace of God, the gentleness of God, and the anxiety and stresses of this world removed, and you can experience God's peace in the middle of the most difficult situation. You say, Russ, don't you know that there's people dying? Don't you know that there's people experiencing terrible lives? I'm telling you the truth of God. Paul, in the middle
of being in the most difficult situation, he says, you can experience God's peace. You don't have to live in anxiety. And it talks about our meditations, our thinking in verses 8 and 9. The word tells us is that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O God. What do you think about? What do you think about? What is your go-to think about? What is the thing when you're just needing a deep breath? What do you start thinking about? And guys, here's this. Can I just clarify the difference between prayer and meditation? When you meditate on the things of God, that's when you just think about it. That's when you sort it out. That's when you plan what you can say and what you can't say. Those are the meditations of our heart. And our meditations, when they begin to line up with the Word of God, when we begin to think of how God is going to use this situation, how God's working in my life in this situation, how I'm doing this situation through Him, that's the meditations of my heart. And out of the very meditations of your heart, your mouth begins to speak. Your mouth is the thing you cannot control. It's going to expose the meditations of your heart. And so the meditations of our heart, if we have the meditations thinking through Christ, which strengthens us, we begin to think correctly. We begin to meditate on the things of God and on the truths of God and how to apply those to this situation. We begin to go through these things through Christ. And then when we've meditated on these things through Christ, when we're called on to express a thought, our thoughts become God's thoughts, and they're great words of wisdom because God has set us up to say and do the things by working over our heart before we ever have a chance to speak. Man, our meditation needs to be the right thing. Then he talks about gratitude. I have a little interesting thing for gratitude. It says gratitude / generosity. Gratitude / generosity. Now, gratitude comes from an action. It comes from giving. Generosity is not just your money, it's your time. It's what you give to your kids. It's what you give to your wife. It's what you give to your family. It's what you give to God. It's what you give to your job. You can be making X amount of dollars per hour, or you can be making a salary of X amount per whatever, but if you don't give to them generously your time and do your work, you're not being a person of gratitude. And we live in a world where people don't have gratitude for a good job. They don't have gratitude for their situation. They don't have gratitude in the middle of the situation. Here's the Apostle Paul, having gone through all of these things, and then he uses contentment. My favorite verse in the whole Bible is about contentment, 1 Timothy 6:6. It says this, but godliness with contentment, that's a plus. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Guys, in essence, that's what our life is and what it becomes. And if we get that narrowed down to where we live like that, godliness with contentment. So many people, when they turn to God, they think they have to give up everything. We don't give up anything. We gain. God takes the things that destroy our lives away so he can put things into our lives that help us to live right. Contentment. And I have to be contented with that. And when I become contented with that, my life becomes worthwhile. It becomes something of great gain. So may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O God. We go through all of these seven steps. Let me just rehearse them for you again. Rejoicing, gentleness, how to deal with anxiety, how to bring peace into our life, the meditations that we think about, and the gratitude and generosity that we have, and the contentment that all of that brings. Paul says this, now my life is not contingent on my circumstances. My circumstances are contingent on my life. And verse 11 says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I have learned to both be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ. And the key ingredient there is through Christ. If we do everything we do through Christ, what about your job? Are you doing your job through Christ? Or are you doing your job because I need money to provide for my family? If you would do it through Christ, it would have more meaning for you. How about how you live in your family? Well, I married the girl. I have to take care of her now. Oh, that was a mistake, but, you know, I'm committed. How about trying it out through Christ? How about these crazy kids you've raised? My dad one time, one of the funniest things he ever said, I was upset. And, you know, I said one of the stupidest things you say. You say stupid things to your folks. I hope you did. I hope I'm not the only one. And I asked my dad, I told my dad, I didn't ask to be born in this world. And immediately he says, well, if you had, the answer would have been no. I could never get ahead of him. But the Apostle Paul gave us a great deal of wisdom on how to deal with this life. If you get up in the morning and you make your list of everything you need to do, and then you ask God, say, God, here's my list of everything I need to do. And your word says, I can do all things through Christ. So help me through Christ to do the things that I need to do. Help me to do it the way that God wants me to do it. Help me to do it the way that you would have me do it, and help me to be successful according to what your success is and not the world. And guys, if we can just tap into that grace, the Apostle Paul was such a great man of influence because he gave us such practical ways to live for God. So this morning, Philippians chapter 4, leave it open for a couple days. Let it soak into your life. Pick up some of these verses that you really need. But the one for me is, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray today that you would help us to be people of great strength. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be people of great rejoicing. God, I pray that as we go through our week this week, that we would challenge our own selves through you, I pray, to be the kind of people you want us to be. God, I pray that everything we do would be an act of worship out of gratitude to you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're so glad that you joined us today. You can give us your comments, write to us at the address that's on your screen right now. You can email us, you can Facebook us, you can Twitter us, you can do all those kind of things. But we would love to hear from you. And thank you for the support that you send in each month, because it keeps us right here on your screen, and we appreciate that. God bless you. We'll see you next time on Cowboy Church.